You're listening to another Old Time Radio classic on the Boxcar 711 Old Time Radio Pod, where the oldies are still young.
I don't believe in fretting and grieving. Why mess around with Christ? I never was caught out. Who stepped and sought out? Give me the simple life. Some fine pleasant, shining on pheasant, soft things roll off my knife. Just serve me tomatoes and mashed potatoes. Give me a simple life.
Manhunt. The clue of the murdered maestro that led to Manhunt. No crime has been committed yet. No murder has been done yet. No manhunt has begun yet.
Hello? Hello?
Take it easy, Grant. I want to talk to you.
I'm working on a new orchestra arrangement. I don't want to talk to anybody.
You should want to talk to me. You see, I'm the last person you're ever going to talk to. When I count three, you're going to die. One?
You're crazy, whoever you are. I'm alone here in this room. Nobody can possibly get in unless I let them in.
Think so? Two?
Maybe you do know what you're talking about. I'm getting out of here.
Three.
A murderer is loose. A murderer so clever he can talk to his victim on the telephone and still fire the gun that killed him. Who will solve the slayer's secret? Who will bring him to justice? Who will start the manhunt? Manhunt and the clue of the murdered maestro.
All right, Drew. Now that we're almost there, don't you want to know where we're headed for?
Not particularly. You see, Bill, you're head of the homicide department. I'm head of the police laboratory. Technically, you're my boss. You said to come with you, and here I am.
Yeah, but we've been riding for 15 minutes, and you haven't... what's the use? Pull into the curb of this big house here.
Yeah.
Come on, get out. We're on a case, Drew.
Oh, murder case, Bill?
A murder case. How should I know? All I know is, a few minutes ago, I got a call from a musician in Gordon Grant's band.
Gordon Grant, eh?
Yeah.
Full-time band leader. Good. Does he live here?
Yeah, right up these steps.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyhow, this musician says he knows Grant is in a certain room in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't get any answer when he knocks on the door.
Why didn't he go out and call him on the telephone?
They got phones in the house.
Oh.
He called a private number, he says. He's got a busy signal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe the guy took the phone off the hook and went to sleep.
Yeah, maybe, though. But let's hope that his sleep isn't permanent. Come on, let's go in.
Any minute. That's Sergeant Morton now.
Mike.
Sergeant Morton?
Yeah?
I'm Eddie Blake. I play in Gordon Grant's band. I called you when I couldn't get into Mr. Grant's study.
Okay. You get in now.
This is Jill Davis. She sings with the band.
Hello.
Hi. And this is Drew Stevens. He helps me on cases. He sings.
Mr. Grant's study is right down the hall, this way.
I know where it is, Sergeant. I'll take you.
Thanks, Ron. You stay here, Blake. We'll go with the officer. Come on, Drew.
Yeah, okay.
Is there an axe around to break down the door, Ryan?
An axe wouldn't do much good, Sergeant. The door is sheet metal.
How about the windows?
Well, there are no windows, Mr. Stevens. This room is right in the center of the house, and it's built special, this fellow Blake said.
Special, he says. Built special for what?
It's soundproof. One door and no windows. The walls are thick and soundproof. Mr. Grant had to have absolute quiet when he worked. Must be in the room now, sir, because the door is bolted from the inside. Yeah, this is the room.
Huh? Quite a mystery mansion, isn't it?
The precinct sent around the settling torch, Sergeant Morton, after I phoned him. Okay to use it?
I'll wait till I bang on the door to make sure. Okay, Ann. Burn it down.
Yes.
Oh, Eddie, I hope nothing happened to Gordon. I couldn't live if anything happened to him.
Don't worry, Jill. We'll know in a minute now. Is it all right to wait here, Sergeant Morton?
Huh? Yeah, okay. How you coming, Orion?
In a minute, sir. That does it, Sergeant.
Put your hand through that hole and slide the bolt.
All right. Yeah. Still can't open her up. Nothing's holding it back.
Come on, Drew.
Push, right. Come on. Oh. There, we've got it. This is what was holding the door back. Gordon Grant's body.
No!
Easy, Doctor. Now, don't look inside. Come on, we'll go into the parlor.
Shot through the back of the head, Drew.
Mm.
Must have died instantly. Yeah. The murderer's still got to be in this room. He couldn't get out.
I don't see anybody. There's no place he could hide.
Well, anyway,
he ought to still be here. Hey, Drew.
Hmm?
There's a gun lying on the floor over here. Right near the telephone. That's on the floor, too.
Yeah, I see them, Bill. You know something? If that's the gun that killed Grant, we've really got a case. Man shot in a room that nobody could get in or out of. Nobody except the murderer, that is.
Are you busy?
Oh, hi, Pat. Well, I've been busy for the past half hour, but I'm not now. I've just finished checking the gun we found in Grant's study.
Well?
Well, it's the one that killed him, all right. And, as usual, no fingerprints. So, it can't be suicide.
I know this sounds like Bill talking, but isn't this whole situation a little bit impossible?
What do you mean, a little bit? Grant was shot in a room that had no windows, and the only door was locked on the inside. No trap doors, closets, false ceilings, or anything like that. And the walls are thick.
Hmm.
Hey, Pat, how'd you like a look at that room?
All right, but what for?
Well, see if we can find something there that'll lead us to the murderer.
Why go to all that bother? The reason I broke in on you just now was to tell you that there's a man outside who wants to confess to murdering Grant.
Well, Pat, for Pete's sake, show him in.
I'm on my way, Drew. All right, sir, you can come in now.
Thank you. How do you do, Mr. Stevens? I am Anton Beloine.
How do you do? Won't you sit down? I'll see you later, Pat.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. You looked puzzled when you came out of Gordon Grant's house a little while ago.
So?
You resemble a man, a great violinist, who studied the Devon.
Hmm?
I like him, and I do not want you to be upset. So I came to tell you I killed Gordon Grant.
Oh, you did, eh? Why? What have you got against musicians?
Grant was not a musician, Mr. Stevens, any more than I am a murderer. He was the murderer. He murdered Chopin, Rimsky-Korsakov, Massenet. Murdered them with his jazz. He had to die.
Oh, but did you have to kill him?
I am a musician, Mr. Stevens. You do not understand how that answers your question, do you?
No, I don't, but that doesn't matter. How did you kill him? I'd like to know that.
You cannot figure it out, eh? Perhaps I have finally composed a masterpiece. Perhaps it is not music, but it will take an artist to interpret it. Try, Mr. Stevens. Try. Practice. Practice as I did for so many years. Practice makes perfect, you know.
Yes, I know. And this time, it looks like practice has made a perfect crime.
Hello, Mike. Anybody inside the murder room?
No, Mr. Stevens. They've all left. That musician, Eddie Blake's in the other room with their girl singer, Jill Davis. He won't leave the house.
Oh, well, have him to come in here, will you, Mike? And, Pat, when he does come in, you go out and try to get the Davis girl to leave.
Well, what am I, Drew? A secretary or a comforter?
Be right back, sir.
Hey, Drew. Can you take a look at this room? What crazy wallpaper. Shot, flat, scales, and notes. Looks like somebody just grabbed handfuls of them and threw them at the wall.
Well, that's futuristic, Pat.
Okay, and the future can have it. Drew, what are you going to do here?
Well, find out how that crazy musician, Delorme, got out of the room after Phil Grant.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hello, Eddie.
Oh, Mr. Stevens.
Run along, Pat. Mike will show you where Mercedes is.
Okay. Come on, Mike.
Well, I think you can help me, Eddie. Look. Let's suppose Grant was standing at the door when he was shot. The bullet came in straight, so it had to be fired from somewhere in a straight line with the door.
But the gun was lying on the floor right here. That's straight.
Yes, but suppose Grant wasn't shot from this room.
Hmm?
Well, let's see. Straight line from the door to the wall would take us about here.
Oh, but the gun, Mr. Stevens, is in this room.
Well, forget that for a minute. Well, let's see if the wall's solid.
But, sir, if the shot was fired from the next room, it would have ripped the wallpaper.
Yeah, I know. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I've got something. Hey, help me rip this wallpaper away, will you?
Yeah, sure. Hey, a hole in the wall.
Well, it's more like a slot. And it's stuffed with newspaper. Come on, let's get him out.
Yeah.
Let's see. The slot's about 6 inches long and 3 inches wide. The murderer stood in the next room and fired the gun that killed Grant. Now, if I had a stick, I think I could show you how the gun got into this room. Eddie, what instrument do you play?
Trombone.
I'll get it while we go into the next room. I think I can duplicate the shooting.
Okay. My trombone's right outside this door.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I hope you're right about solving this case, Mr. Stevens. Neither Jill nor I will ever get any rest until Gordon's murderer is caught.
You're quite fond of her, aren't you, Eddie?
Yes, sir, I am.
Felt okay, Eddie.
Fine. Here's my instrument case. I'll take it in with us.
All right. Let's come on in. See, this spot in the wall.
Huh?
Oh. All you can see from here into the next room is the door. Well, that's perfect. Here's the phone he must have used to call Gordon on some pretext to get him to go to that door. Well, let me have the slide part of your trombone, Eddie.
Yes, sir. But
first he shot Grant with this plot. Now I'll show you how the gun got into the other room. Oh, thanks. So I put my gun in this wall slot and shove it. There. See? The gun falls into the other room.
Yeah, but the wallpaper, it was intact when you and Sergeant Morton broke in.
Well, I think I can explain that too, Eddie. Now, supposing I put some paste on a square wallpaper big enough to cover the hole in the wall. I took a stick or something and put it in the center of the paper square while I'm still in this room.
Oh, I follow that.
Then I push the stick through the hole. When it's on the other side, I yank it toward me. So the paper would have opened up on the other side of the slot, and yanking the stick would paste it on the wall right over the hole. And because of the crazy design on the wallpaper next door, it was impossible to notice that it had been patched.
Well, then the hole could be filled with newspapers from this side.
Yes, and a little plastering in here, and the job was done.
Sounds like somebody sure figured out a wonderful plan.
Yes, Eddie, you sure did. You killed Grant. Which did you want, his band or his girl?
I wanted them both, but you'll never...
Oh, no! Don't ever try to pull a gun on me, Eddie. I don't like it. I'll just take that little toy from you. There. Hey, did you send Beloine in to confess the murder?
Sure I did. He thought he was being a martyr to music. How did you pin this thing on me?
Well, Eddie, there was paste all over your trombone slide. Got there when you pushed the wallpaper through the slot.
I didn't have time to scrape it off. Jill came.
Oh, never mind, Eddie. Explain it to your lawyer. Just too bad you weren't satisfied just to blow your own horn and not try to cover up a murder with it.
Manhunt. The clue of the stairway slaying that led to Manhunt. No crime has been committed. Yet. No murder has been done. Yet. No manhunt has begun. Yet.
Hello. This is Jackson. It's 2 a.m. at the Fulton Warehouse. All quiet. A little lonely, but all quiet. When the relief watchman comes, have him bring up some coffee, will you? Thanks. I'll go on.
Hold everything. I've got to see what's happened.
Hey, you! You, coming down those stairs! Stop!
Hello. Into the quiet of a waterfront warehouse, death blasts an announcement of its presence. Man-made death. Called on the police records by a much uglier name. Murder. Who will avenge the death of the watchman? Who will solve the secret of his murderer's identity? Who will start the manhunt? Manhunt and the clue of the stairway slaying.
I gotta laugh, too. I gotta. Sometimes an old-fashioned cop like me can get results, too.
What are you laughing at, Bill?
Come on across the hall to my office.
Okay.
You know that the watchman at the Fulton Warehouse was shot to death at 2 o'clock this morning?
Yes, I know. Is that what's breaking you up?
No, I gotta laugh at it. Come on, I'll tell you.
All right, I'm with you.
You remember Don Andrews? You helped send him up for a warehouse robbery 5 or 6 years ago?
Yes, I remember him.
Well, he got out yesterday. When I heard this was a warehouse job, I grabbed Andrews. So you know what?
What?
He admits he was at the Fulton Warehouse last night, but let him tell you himself. He's in my office now. You'll die laughing. Come on in.
Hello, Andrews.
Hi.
Tell him your story, Andrews. Give him a laugh, too.
I don't know what's with this hyena. Look, Stevens, I got out of prison yesterday, and I did steal a truckload of stuff from my warehouse at midnight last night. But I don't know anything about any murder or any $50,000 either.
What $50,000, Bill?
A safe was blown open in the office of Jordan & Company, third floor of the warehouse. $50,000 is missing.
Hey, that's a lot of loot. As I remember it, you don't ever carry a gun, do you, Andrews?
No. Why, I only got 5 to 10 years for my last job. Take this guy lay off, will you, Stevens? He's trying to pin a murder rap on me.
What do you mean, trying to? It's a sin.
Hey, Drew, where you going? Maybe Andrews didn't kill the watchman, Bill.
Are you kidding?
I'm going up to Jordan's office to find out who cracked that safe so I can crack this case.
May I help you?
Andrew Stevens, please.
Oh, hello. My name is Jane Jordan. My father owns this firm, and I work for him. Please come in.
Thank you. Miss Jordan, I wonder if I could take a look at that safe that was blown and robbed last night.
Oh, yes, I suppose so. It's in Dad's private office. That's right, or I'll open the door for you. The police said to keep it locked.
Yes.
I have the key right here.
Uh-huh.
There. Come on in.
Hey, somebody did a mighty fine job on this safe. The door's completely off.
You, know about this safe, don't you, Mr. Stevens?
Know about it? Well, what do you mean?
Well, it was the only one of its kind in the country. Specially built and burglar-proof, it is alleged.
That it is alleged sounds like newspaper man talk.
Hmm?
They qualify everything, you know. It is reported, according to the police, it is alleged, stuff like that.
Oh, I come by that, honestly enough. I worked on my college paper. Staff photographer.
Oh, that's all?
Mm-hmm.
What do you work with, Steve Grappler?
No, I do candid camera work, mostly.
Uh-huh.
Well, Mr. Stevens, you've been squatting there by the safe for a whole minute now. What have you found?
Promise you won't tell anybody?
Cross my heart.
Okay, then. I haven't found a thing.
Oh, I like that. Mr. Stevens, maybe this might help you.
Mm-hmm.
The people who built this safe gave Dad several possible combinations.
Mm-hmm.
He was to select one of them and to set the tumblers himself, which he did, so that he was the only man in the world who could open that safe without having to force it.
Oh, gee, I don't think that means anything, considering the fact that somebody did blow it open. But thanks, just the same. Well,
Mr. Stevens, could I go with you wherever you're going? I could take pictures of whatever you're doing, and maybe they'd be valuable to you later on.
Have you got your camera with you?
No, I've got a picture for you.
Mm-hmm.
I always have my camera with me.
My turns are like that. Sorry to disappoint you, Miss Jordan, but all I'm going to do is make a routine phone call.
Oh, come into my office and make it then. You can sit at my desk, and I'll snap your picture while you're calling.
Oh, all right. Oh, see that I come out happy here.
Well, I'll do my best. Go ahead, sit over there at the desk while I lock up here.
All right.
You look fine sitting there. I'll get my camera. It's right here.
Okay, but I'm not responsible for broken lenses.
Mr. Stevens, turn a little bit more this way, will you please?
Like this?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Businessmen's Protective Service.
Hello, this is Drew Stevens, police. Say, Fred Jackson, the watchman who was killed this morning, was one of your men, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Well, I'm just doing some routine checking. How often did he report to your office during the night?
He came on at midnight, same as I did.
See?
Checked in every hour on the hour. We've got a phone booth on the second floor of the warehouse.
Well, he was killed at 2 a.m. on the dot, our report says.
Right. He was talking to me on the phone. Then I heard a dull explosion and Fred put the phone down. Not more than 3 seconds later, I heard the shot that killed him.
How many seconds later?
3 or 4. Maybe 5, not more. Anything else?
No, nothing else, thank you. Except to tell you that you've been very helpful. You see, you practically told me who murdered Fred Jackson.
Don't stop me, you know. I can't stand people looking over my shoulder while I'm working.
All right, then tell me what you're doing.
I'm thinking. Bill, the Jordan office is on the third floor of the warehouse, right?
That's right.
Okay. Watson was calling in from the second floor when the explosion occurred. The pistol shot that killed him followed almost immediately. Is that those facts?
Jordan office on third floor, watchman on second floor. Explosion and pistol shot almost together.
I got that, but still I got nothing. You're gonna get credit for an arrest, Bill, that's something. I just hold everything while I put this all together.
Put this together, he says. What for? Don Andrews stole that 50 grand and killed the watchman. I'd bet my badge on it.
Oh, you're liable to be awful cold under the lapel this winter, Bill. I get this. Somebody has to blow the Jordan safe, take the money out of it, run down the hall, down a flight of stairs, and kill the watchman all in 3 seconds.
Andrews could have done it, he's fast.
Nobody could have done it. It's impossible, Bill. Here's what actually happened. The safe was opened by somebody who knew the combination. Then it was fixed to blow open as a cover-up while a thief was halfway down the stairs. A few seconds later, the watchman got out of him and was killed.
Okay, I won't argue with you. You say it was done that way, then that's the way Don Andrews did it.
Oh, I'm a little tired of saying this, Bill, but Andrews didn't do it. Only one person knew the combination of that safe. Thomas Jordan, the man who owned the company.
Yeah, but what about Don Andrews?
He's no murderer, Bill. You know, if I were you and I were looking for Fred Jackson's killer, I wouldn't pick on Andrews, but I'd pick up Thomas Jordan.
Oh,
Miss Jordan, is your father at home?
Why, yes, he is. He's in the library. Won't you come in?
Yes, thanks. Come on, Bill.
Right this way, Pete. Dad? Oh, Dad?
Yes, dear?
Dad, these two gentlemen are from the police. Mr. Stevens and Mr. Morton.
How are you?
How are you, gentlemen?
I want you to sit down.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Stevens, I'm developing the picture I took of you at the telephone this afternoon. It ought to be about ready now. I'll go and see if it is.
Don't bother. Well, Mr. Jordan, maybe it's best if your daughter has left. We have some rather personal questions to ask.
Yes? What are they?
Just what is your present financial situation?
Well, you can see for yourself. This house, my business.
They look fine, Mr. Jordan, but appearances could be deceiving.
Just why are you asking me these questions, Mr. Stevens?
You don't understand why, huh? I'll tell you.
Never mind. Mr. Jordan, we know you were the only living person who knew the combination of your safe.
That's correct. I originated the combination, never told it to anyone, and in fact, never even wrote it down.
So your safe was blown open after it was robbed, Mr. Jordan. That's why I want to know, could you have used the $50,000 that was in it for some, well, shall I say, personal reason?
To be frank about it, Mr. Stevens, I could have used that money. This house is mortgaged. That money in the safe was not mine. We're agents, you see, and we were given that money to pay for the shipment of woolen.
Well, you're honest enough, aren't you?
But why not? I have nothing to hide.
Believe you, Mr. Stevens. It's still wet from the hypo. Looks like it came out pretty well, though.
Oh, thanks. Would you excuse us a minute, please, Miss Jordan? We have
not been... till you look at my picture.
All right. Yes, very good.
Thanks.
You've got a wonderful camera, Miss Jordan. Photographs every detail. Even the numbers on the telephone dial are readable. It's better on your desk.
Hmm?
Where is it? May I keep it?
You can see a letter in that picture? Let me have it.
Just a second.
No.
Up there grabbing. I know this makes me pretty much of a social outcast reading other people's mail, but I see why this letter is important, very important. I think it tells me why you robbed your father's safe.
I did not. Give me that photograph. Give it to me. Do you hear me? I want the photograph.
Keep her quiet,
it
Bill.
To me.
Bill. Yeah. Keep quiet. I need the rest of this letter. You made out most of it, I think.
Keep your hands off me, you. Go ahead, mastermind. Read it.
Jack Barnes, the gambler. It says that unless Miss Jordan pays him the $35,000 she lost at roulette in his place, he's going to... I can't read the rest, but it doesn't matter. You paid Barnes, didn't you, Miss Jordan?
Wait, please, Mr. Stevens. You said the safe was opened before the explosion. No one knew the combination but me. Jane couldn't have taken the money.
Oh, yes, she could, sir. Jane worked in your office. She saw you open the safe a dozen times.
Of course she did, but she was never close enough to see the numbers on the dial.
Oh, she couldn't, Mr. Jordan, but her camera could. She must have snapped candid photos of you when you opened the safe, taking a new shot to each turn of the dial and later enlarged it. Isn't that what you did, Miss Jordan?
Yes. Yes, it is. I had to have that money, so I figured out what I thought was a perfect plan. But I didn't mean to shoot the watchman. All I wanted was the money, but then while I was running down the steps, I heard him call for me to stop it. Well, I must have shot him.
Well, you better take her, Bill, and this print for evidence. It's too bad for you, Miss Jordan, that the hypo solution developed not only my picture, but also a murder charge against you.